that I would have to scramble down and fight my way to the bottom of the hill and cross the savannah in darkness. That was where some of my predecessors had failed their initiations. Jovis said that I would see what remained of their bones scattered about, as if the spike were some sort of Tarkin reliquary. To provide myself with an advantage, I spent days working with a shovel, while the males were lazing on the hill and the females were in the caves tending to the young, to excavate a series of traps and pits along what would be my escape route. Some little more than deep holes, others with floors of sharpened stakes. Then the day came. I made my crossing through the tall grass and scampered up onto the porous, fine-grained rocks. One slip, and I could have broken an ankle or become permanently wedged between the boulders. Venomous insects attacked me from hidden nests. Stinging ants streamed out from hills of their own making. Serpents rattled in forewarning. The heat beat down on me. Nature had conspired to make the hill a last stand against technology and civilization. A place engineered to test a sentient's resolve to conquer and survive. But I endured. The spike loomed above me like a lightning rod, a solidified puddle of black glass at its base. I threw the strap around it, planted the thick soles of my boots against the edges, and hauled myself up centimeters at a time. The ascent took much longer than I had anticipated, and I had scarcely reached the flat, slightly angled top when the first of the Veermocks arrived. Seeing me there, sitting cross-legged atop the spike, the vibralance hanging over my shoulder, they began to hop and circle round in mounting, growling agitation, uncertain, perhaps awaiting instructions from Lord. Alone among them, however, Shadow merely sat on his haunches to watch me, communicating with members of his clique by clacking vocalizations. Finally, Lord made his appearance, gazing up at me with fury in his eyes, and what struck me as hatred at having to be put to a test so early in the day. I wondered if some of my ancestors had survived by killing the dominant Veermock, thinking that would dissuade the rest. But I didn't believe that would work, not with Shadow standing by to assume leadership. As if by the power of voice alone he could dislodge me from my perch, Lord barked louder than the rest combined. After all, it was incumbent on him to deal with this intruder. But before he had a chance to act, Shadow issued another series of vocal clackings that prompted his followers to launch an attack on the spike from all sides, their lethal claws scoring the volcanic glass with a sound that made every nerve in my body jangle. As if intent on splitting my attention, some fainted, while others leapt as high as their legs could carry them. They roared and gnashed their big triangular teeth, but I refused to give in to fear. Moreover, something unusual was going on. The attacks by Shadow's minions were chaotic, nothing at all like the well-coordinated exercises I had watched them utilize during hunts. The turmoil sent Lord into a rage. Desperate to restore order, he batted at the young males who were charging back and forth or trying to gain purchase on the glass. He drew blood from a few but was unable to control them. I glanced at Shadow in time to hear him issue a low, warbling groan. And at once the young males turned on Lord with teeth and claws set to one purpose. For a moment, the old Veermock champion seemed too confused to respond, almost as if the communal attack violated their code of behavior, some etiquette particular to the species. Quickly, though, he realized that he had to fight for his life, and he gave himself over to defending himself, killing three of the young males before the rest finally got the better of him. And throughout it all, Shadow didn't move a muscle.
"An assassination,"
Vader said,
"with you providing the necessary distraction."
Tarkin nodded. An opportunity they had long been waiting for.
"And the pretender, Shadow."
Tarkin forced an exhale. I gave the Veermocks a moment to lord their new leader. Then I hurled my lance and promptly killed him. I might as well have dropped a bomb on the hill. One moment the young Veermox didn't know what to make of their victory in overcoming Lord. Now, they behaved as if they had nowhere to turn. Without a leader, a true inheritor, they fell victim to a kind of bewildered grief, an almost existential despair. They dropped to their bellies and stared up at me in almost docile expectation. I didn't trust them, but I had no option but to descend the spike at sunset, and when I threaded among them to retrieve my lance from Shadow's inert body, not one of them loosed even so much as a growl, and they actually followed me down the hill.
What was your uncle's reaction?
Vader asked. Jova said it was good to see me in one piece, particularly since he and the others had wagered that my bones would be joining those of my ancestors. Tarkin paused before adding, The following morning, the Veermok troop abandoned the hill and the spike. They left the plateau and weren't seen again.
They failed to realize what they would bring down on themselves by turning on their leader,
Vader said. Precisely.
Then you are the last Tarkin to have passed the test.
Tarkin nodded. That particular test, yes. By then they had reached the shuttle bay. Tarkin walked alongside Vader to the foot of the ramp. Safe journey, Lord Vader. Be sure to give the Pretender my regards.
Rest assured, Governor Tarkin.
With an abrupt nod of his head and a swirl of his black cloak, Vader disappeared up the ramp, and Tarkin started for the Star Destroyer's command bridge.